It's been kind of a rough week for me. I cried a lot this week, Calvary. One of those weeks, really a couple of days earlier this week, as it turned out, where I just felt completely overwhelmed. About some Calvary stuff for sure, but more about my life in general, about the world in general. Riddled within myself with self-doubt, I couldn't concentrate, effectively shut down for the better part of a day and a half. And to be honest, I felt depressed in a way that I haven't felt in a long time. And I say that as somebody who has struggled for most of my adult life with depression. All that to say that I felt pretty far from joy this week. So perhaps it's fitting that this week's Advent theme is joy. God's sense of humor at work, maybe, or something like that. Our scripture texts this week are full of joy, bursting with joy. We hear it from the prophet Isaiah, as Teresa just read for us. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Sing for joy. We hear it in the lesser-known prophet Zephaniah, as we heard John read for us in preparing to light the Advent candle of joy. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord your God is in your midst. God will rejoice over you with gladness and renew you in God's love. God will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival, celebration. Rejoice over God as God rejoices over you. And we hear it in Paul's letter to the Philippians, his well-known refrain. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice, rejoice always. Liturgically speaking, what began as hope 2 Sundays ago now turns to joy. The joy anticipating Emmanuel, God made known to us and present among us through the newborn Jesus, through the full-grown Jesus, through the resurrected Jesus. The joy anticipating, as the text from Zephaniah puts it, renewal in God's love. Joy, joy, joy. But joyful. Joyful is not how I would describe my week. Truth is, I'm not a particularly joyful person. In general, I say that. It's a growing edge for me. It's something I'm aware of about myself. We all know people who are, or whom we experience as joyful, people who seem to exude a sense of genuine joy and gratitude whenever we're around them. Some of them in this congregation, thanks be to God. Some of them in my family, thanks be to God. That, I think, is a spiritual gift. But for me, and perhaps for many of you, it feels more like a spiritual discipline. Allow me to tell a short story about myself, on myself. My wedding day, now a little more than 15 years ago, in this very space, standing on this very spot across from Amy, with many of you gathered around us on a much, much warmer day in August, was one of the most joyful days of my life. But that's not the story. At different points throughout the service, especially at the beginning, I found myself on one of the most joyful days of my life, distracted by the fact that the wireless microphone wasn't working, and that a good number of people who had come from all over the country for our wedding, family and friends gathered, a good number of people weren't going to be able to hear my relatively soft-spoken Uncle Jerry, who officiated, the same beloved uncle who died a few weeks ago. In short, I let the perfect be the enemy of the good, and so steal at least some of my joy on what was otherwise a gloriously joyful day. Not all of it, not even close to all of it. But I share that story to illustrate why, in preparing a sermon about joy this week, I found myself thinking, what in God's name do I know about joy? Not much, maybe. But here's what I do know, or at least what I think I know, what I believe about joy. Joy is in us. Joy is deep down at the core of all of us, because joy comes from God, our Creator. Joy is what's deep down at the core of the entire created world. It's strewn all around, as the poet Holly J. Hughes puts it, strewn all around. Joy is what emerges in us, leaps out of us sometimes, unexpectedly, when we are closest to our own and each other's belovedness, our own and each other's beauty, our own and each other's giftedness, our own and each other's essence, essential being. When we're able to release the sometimes, often, thickly layered weight of the world and our lives, even for just a moment, and reconnect with ourselves and each other, including all of creation, in purest form, clearly, richly, authentically, abundantly. Think about, just for a moment, think about what brings you joy and tell me it's not pure like that. Children help keep us in touch with our joy, right? That's at least part of why Jesus reminds us to keep them close by. The kingdom of God belongs to such as them because the joy of God in them is so close to the surface. They can't help it. And so their joy feeds our joy. I lived in Baltimore when I finished college. I was an AmeriCorps volunteer for 2 years, and I had a daily commute from where we lived in southeast Baltimore, two buses to downtown Baltimore and then to North Central. And I remember, like it was yesterday, riding a bus, and this is like no different than Philly, right? For those of you who ride public transportation, you get on, it's the morning, people are tired, most people don't really want to go to work, but they got to go to work or go to school, wherever they're going. Heads are down, right? I mean, anymore, people are like listening to music, they're on their phone, nobody's interacting with each other, faces are drawn. I felt the same way. I didn't want to be on that bus, it was crowded. I found a seat in the back, and I remember this mother who got on the bus with her child, right, in the car seat. She got on, and this baby was maybe one and a half years old, was just bursting with joy. Just his face was lit up with this huge smile for whatever reason. And I am telling you, it was like Moses and the Red Sea as this mother and her child walked to the back of the bus, and every single row, every person lifted their head up, smiles on everybody's faces, right? That sense of contagious joy and what we get when we're around children. Their joy feeds our joy. Ralph Waldo Emerson once wrote, "We find a delight in the beauty and happiness of children that makes the heart too big for the body." Joy is when our hearts are too big for our bodies, and as God's beloved handiwork, we are made for joy. So it's important for us to remember that God longs for our hearts to be too big for our bodies. Amen? Remember that. Remember that. God desires for our hearts to be too big for our bodies. Preparing this sermon thankfully helped me remember this week again that truth, and so did some love from Amy and Gabe. But the world being what it is, as it can so often be, with so many ways to steal our joy individually and collectively, it is easy to forget. It is easy for our hearts to become small, to become hard, to lose touch with that God-given joy deep inside of each of us. And so we have to go deep to claim it, to reclaim it, to the essence of our belovedness and giftedness and interconnectedness. That is the spiritual discipline of it, the intentionality of cultivating, accessing the joy that's already there, that's already in the world, because it's easy on the surface of things, even just under the surface of things, for our joy, for the joy of the world around us, to get buried under the weight of the world, lost in the shuffle of life. John Donne once wrote that true joy is the nearest which we have of heaven. It is the treasure of the soul, and therefore should be laid in a safe place, and nothing in this world is safe to place it in. Joy is a precious gift from God, and so we need to protect it with our lives because our lives depend on it. We have to guard ourselves and help guard each other against that which threatens to steal our joy, to distract us from it, to pull us away from it. I have found depression in my experience as just one example is a pretty persistent thief. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation, writes the prophet. Another way of saying, you got to go deep. You got to go deep. With joy, you will find the living water that refreshes your spirit and renews you in divine love, that reconnects you to your own and each other's belovedness. That is what salvation is, right? In Jesus, the newborn baby, the full-grown prophet, the resurrected Christ, we are forever reminded that we all are, more than anything else, beloved. Beloved. The wells of salvation are deep because salvation is about returning to the depth of our divine belovedness, our core identities, our essence, again and again and again, as Paul Simon writes, like waves on the sea, again and again and again. Sin is what disconnects us from our divine belovedness, our own and each other's, and so joy is both a means to and an expression of that belovedness. Joy reconnects us to the God in ourselves, in each other, and in the world around us. Joy does that. You may be familiar with the Book of Delights, a New York Times best-selling book of short essays written by the poet and professor Ross Gay. It came out a couple of years ago. Amy has a copy at home and has been singing its praises in our house. And so I've recently started reading. I've only read a handful of chapters so far, but I highly recommend it. The Book of Delights by Ross Gay. It's a beautiful book about joy, a reflection of the author's commitment to record over the course of an entire year the small joys we often overlook that are always there if we're paying attention, and that help keep us connected and reconnected. But without dismissing the complex reality, his reality of living in a racist country as a black man. Joy is not optimism. It does not mean you have to look at the world through rose-colored glasses. You cannot fake joy. In one entry, he's talking about healthy forests, how what we see above ground is nothing compared to what's going on underground. The way that trees are constantly in communication with each other, tending to each other's needs through a vast and complex subterranean network of roots. He describes fungal duff, D-U-F-F, healthy forest soil, and describes joy in the entry's title as such a human madness, the duff between us. And this is what he writes. Because in trying to articulate what perhaps joy is, it has occurred to me that among other things, the trees and the mushrooms have shown me this. Joy is the mostly invisible, the underground union between us, you and me, which is, among other things, the great fact of our life and lives, of everyone and thing we love going away. If we sink a spoon into the fact, the duff between us, we will find it teeming. It will look like all the books ever written. It will look like all the nerves in a body. We might call it sorrow, but we might call it a union, one that once we notice it, once we bring it into the light, might become flower and food, might be joy. It's beautiful. Joy as flower of and food for our souls. Joy as the duff that keeps us alive and deeply connected to each other, whether we realize it or not. And notice here, I appreciate this so much, his affirmation that sorrow is not as distinct from joy as we might think. It is not the opposite of joy. Joy does not replace sorrow, because sorrow similarly is a means to and an expression of our and each other's belovedness and connectedness. Sorrow is what we experience when we have lost something or someone we love, which is why the Apostle Paul in the second letter to the Corinthians can talk about being sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing at the same time. Connection is the gift, and sorrow speaks as much to our interconnectedness as joy does. It just looks and feels different. So there you have it. As someone who is admittedly but not hopelessly joy challenged, that's what I think I know about joy. That's what I believe about joy. As we continue on this Advent journey, this journey leaning more fully into hope and peace and joy, I'm also reminded of Jesus' instruction to his disciples just before his arrest and trial and crucifixion. As shared in John's gospel, Jesus describes himself as the vine and talks about abiding in his love and God's love, loving each other as he has loved them. And then he says, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete, full, abundant. That joy, friends, joy in God, rooted in God's love, is already in you, deep inside you. It's in all of us and in the world around us. So protect it. Guard it. May it be complete, full, abundant, even when you're feeling the weight of the world and your lives upon you. And may it be so.